now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, greetings and welcome to Bread of His Presence. So glad you could join us today for another study of the Word of God together. You know, we've started a new series together on discipleship, looking at what it meant to be a disciple of a rabbi in the first century world of Jesus. And perhaps the first and foremost thing that characterized what was central to the heart of a disciple, but really most Jews during the time of Christ, was an utter and complete devotion to knowing and living out the Word of God. And that was especially true of the Jews living in Galilee. You know, when I was in Galilee with a group several months ago, our guide told us something very interesting that I have done some further research on and discovered to be 100% accurate. I had always assumed that Galilee was kind of the less educated region, especially in comparison to Judea. But did you know that's not the case? Galilee was a major, major center of education. There were more synagogues in Galilee than anywhere else, even in Judea. The Galileans were by far the most religious Jews in the world during the time of Christ, absolutely without question. They weren't less educated, as I had thought, but were more highly educated in the Bible and in its interpretation than most Jews. More famous Jewish teachers came from Galilee than anywhere else in the world. They had an incredibly deep and abiding reverence for Scripture. They strove to be absolutely faithful to living their lives by the Word of God. And while Jews in other parts of the empire, like Judea, would often allow the pagan influences of Hellenism to seep in, the Galileans were actually much more resistant to it. They were passionate about holiness, passionate about God, passionate about the Scriptures. It was a community that revolved around keeping the passage that we read at our church almost every Sunday, Deuteronomy 6:5, which says, "You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." And so that's the context that Jesus grew up in, and later came to minister in. He was among some of the most highly educated Jews of his time, and those who were the most deeply committed to knowing and living out the Word of God in their community. And this education in the Word of God, it began when you were only a very small child. You know, I have two very young kids who are going to be starting school again very soon, as I'm sure many of you do as well. But our central concern for them is not merely for them to just go and learn a whole bunch of facts. No, more importantly, we want them to know truth. Or I should say, the one who is truth. Because truth is not some kind of abstract philosophical idea. No, truth is a person. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so our central concern is that our kids come to know Jesus Christ and have Him be the starting point of their lives. And the primary way that we bring God's truth into our lives is through study of His Word. All true discipleship begins right there. And that's something that the Jews stressed very highly during the time of Jesus, because God had commanded them to teach their children His Word so that they might remember Him and be faithful to Him. And so the Jews wanted to make sure not only that their children knew a lot of information, but in a culture that, I mean, think about it, was so heinously evil, and in which temptation constantly abounded, much like our culture. They knew how important it was to have their children centered on the Word of God. And that's why their focus was on making sure that their children knew the Word of God. In fact, there came a point in the early life of Jesus, probably when he was about 6 years old, when Joseph and Mary sent him to synagogue school for the very first time. He, like all Jewish boys and girls, would have started off his schooling at the very beginning, at the level of schooling known as Bet Sefer. Bet Sefer, which means house of the book. And that is, of course, in reference to the book of Torah, the first five books of the Word of God. But there was a very special ceremony that would begin their education on their very first day of school. Each child had a slate, which had written on it the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, two verses of scripture, Leviticus 1:1 and Deuteronomy 33:4, and one other sentence, which read, "The law will be my calling." And the teacher read these words to the child, and the child repeated them back. And then the synagogue teacher would tell them to hold out their slates. And as they did so, he would take a container of honey and pour it all over their slates. Now, honey in the Bible is a symbol of God's blessing and his favor. There's nothing sweeter, especially to the eager lips of a six-year-old. But after the synagogue teacher poured the honey on their slates, he would then tell his class to lick the honey off. And as they did so, he would remind them of Ezekiel, who said, "After eating the scroll, I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth." He might also have reminded them of these verses. "Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul." Proverbs 24:13-14. Or try this one. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Psalm 119:103. Now, after this ceremony, the child was given sweet cakes to eat, with Bible verses from the Torah written on those cakes. And so right at the very start of their education, they learned that there is nothing sweeter, nothing better than taking the Word of God and bringing it deep inside of them. And during that first level of education, Bet Sefer, the house of the book, these young students would memorize Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, completely by memory. And some of the young boys would then go on in their education and memorize the rest of the Old Testament, all the way to Malachi. Now, we often read about how the disciples of Jesus were uneducated. And in the Greek sense, that's true, but not biblically. What the culture of that time demanded is exactly what we find evidence of in Scripture. From an early age, the disciples knew the Word of God. Peter, though he was but a humble fisherman by trade, we see in his very first sermon in the book of Acts, he's quoting massive chunks of the Old Testament. Even Mary, who in Jewish culture as a woman had very little education, is seen in her Magnificat to have a profound grasp of the Hebrew Scriptures. I mean, to be a Jew in the time of Christ was to know the Word of God. In fact, did you know that it was forbidden in Jewish culture for any man or any woman to speak about any passage of Scripture that they had not yet fully committed to memory in its entirety? And so we need to keep in mind when we read the Bible that whenever Jesus teaches from any passage of Scripture, we can assume that he has all of that Scripture committed to memory. Now, by the time many Jews, especially Galilean Jews, had reached adulthood, many had the entire text of Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament, memorized. And I say that again because we need to realize the context in which God chose to place his Son into our world, and in which he chose to define for us what Christian discipleship looks like. Now, if that seems unreachable to you, let me tell you something. Just a few weeks ago, me and my family met some friends of ours for dinner. And they have three kids, two of which are in Bible quizzing. One of them is a teenage girl named Christy. And over dinner, we discovered that as part of her Bible quizzing, she recently recited the entire book of Acts by memory. And you know how many mistakes she made? Just one. And it was a very small one. Now, my kids are so funny because they immediately asked me later during our evening devotions, "Well, what was the mistake, Dad?" It's funny how we naturally always focus on the negative. But you know what I had them do? I had them sit down in front of me, and I opened up my son's Bible to chapter 1 of the book of Acts. And running my hands down the first page, I said, "She memorized this page." Then I turned the page and ran my fingers down the next page, saying, "Then she memorized this page." And then I did the same with the next page, and then the next page, and the next page. I made them sit there as I went through all 28 chapters of the book of Acts. And then I told them about many of the Jews in Jesus' day. I turned to Genesis chapter 1 and ran my fingers down the first page and said they memorized this page. And then I turned the page and terrified them into thinking I was going to move all the way through the Old Testament like I had done with the book of Acts. I didn't, but I did get the point across. How much have you and I hid the Word of God in our hearts? Because if you are like me, it's not even close to what the Jews in Jesus' time would do. Now, that's not to say that you need to have the whole Bible memorized in order to be a disciple. In fact, Jesus completely broke the mold in choosing men who didn't make it all the way through all three levels of Jewish education, which we'll discuss more in the coming weeks. But he did expect them to have a deep and abiding hunger and thirst for the Word of God, and to be growing in their knowledge of it daily. And guess what? He expects that of you and me as well. But the question is, are we truly hungry for him and his Word? Is the study of his Word the sweetest thing to us? Our central craving. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." It seems to me at times that often we have no lamp. We can't see the path because we're not ingraining into our children, or ourselves for that matter, the Word of God. And that's why all Bible-based discipleship needs to begin with just that, the Bible. Knowing the Word of God and having it as the centerpiece of our lives. Centering ourselves around the Word of God is at the heart of all true discipleship. And so let us commit today and every day to live lives that are centered on knowing and practicing the Word of God. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.